In Psalms 41 through 3, I'll read the Psalm once again to get our lesson started this morning, or this evening rather. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. The division of the Psalms served as a Hebrew songbook, and the Psalms served as an inspiring, uplifting, and motivating influence in their everyday lives. It would do us good to read the Psalms occasionally, perhaps every day or so, because it is a very powerful book. And we see that that's the case here in this Psalm chapter 40. The first three verses of the Psalm under consideration this evening, David set forth some important lessons concerning his relationship to his God, and also indeed for our God as well. So what applied to David back then and principles in these lessons still applies to us today as well. As we think about the verses just read, first three verses of Psalm 40, as we introduce the lesson this evening, let us give some serious consideration as to some of the important key phrases of this Psalm. The second part of the lesson, we will draw applications from those verses. First of all, let us notice the introductory phrase David wrote, "I waited patiently for the Lord." What a great lesson for us today. We need to wait on what the Lord wants to do for us. We may pray unto God and expect an answer right now, but sometimes God takes His time and takes His own time to work things out for our benefit. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord." David, of course, was a king of a mighty nation, United Kingdom under David. No doubt he had a very busy, hurried life, a lot of things to do. He knew what it meant to be busy and engaged in things that took up time for him. King David knew for a fact, and we should too, that we cannot rush God up from what He does. God's timetable is not our timetable. He does things in His own time. In Psalms 46, in verse 10, it says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." King James says, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes we just have to take our time and wait and be patient on what the Lord does for us. 2 Peter 1:6, Peter tells us to add patience to our faith, a golden virtue. We need patience in the Lord's church today. We need patience in our life today. Simply enjoy life every day. Enjoy all the gifts God gives to us. But let's learn to be patient with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's also observe the phrase when it says, "He inclined unto me." It is as God was inclining His ear, and David prayed. He says, "And He heard me." David recognized that God can hear any time, anywhere, any day of the week, as long as we are trying to do His will and serve Him in life. But even in times of deep desperation, the Lord hears us when we cry unto Him. In Psalm 34 and verse 15, which is also found in 1 Peter 3:12, when he says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears open unto their cry or their supplication. So even when David was down and out, when he's in this pit of destruction, in the miry clay, some kind of situation he was in, but he knew that the eyes of the Lord was upon him. What a consolation that is, knowing that the Lord's eyes are upon us every day. We want to be in His line of vision. He can take care of us and then give us things in life we need and also enjoy. It speaks here of the pit of destruction. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction and out of the miry clay. It is seemingly David experienced some low ebbs of times in his life. And he has some pitfalls that he had to rely upon his God. And that's all he could do. Because we're weak. He was weak. Though he was a king, he was weak in things concerning humanity. We ourselves think we are strong many times, but in reality, we just might be weak, and we need God even more in our life. Verse 2, the last part says, and he set my feet upon a rock. The miry clay, the pit of destruction, flimsy, no stability. But a rock is strong and firm, and it shows stability. So here he was, he brought up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and set his feet upon a rock. The rock that is stable in life. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, 1 through 3, there is a song that David penned, and the caption is, he was delivered from his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Two times in that passage, he says, my God, my rock. Notice what it says in verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my horn and the shield of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you saved me from violence. Although descriptive words indicate that David knew for a fact that God delivered him from all of his enemies and from even King Saul, who tried to kill him more than once. He says, my God, my rock. My Lord, my rock. So we need a firm foundation, a firm standing in life as a child of God. Then we listen to the words of Paul to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, when he talked about the firm foundation of God. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. What is that seal, Paul? The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. The seal, the Lord knows those who are His. It's dependable. It's reliable. The stone, the rock we have there. Jesus told a parable about sheep, and He being the shepherd. He says, I know them, but they know me because of the shepherd as well. In our text also, there is the phrase, established my going or making my footsteps firm. David needed direction. Needed some instructions. And so when he speaks about the footsteps, it is David would give heed to the directives of the Lord as we must, as we should ourselves in life. A phrase that stands out in our mind is this. He had put a new song in my mouth. It says in verse 3, He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Notice that. A new song in my mouth. A different disposition, a different attitude, a different way of looking at God's relationship to us and us to Him. When one obeys the plan of the Lord, it results joy into the heart. We read of a passage in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. No wonder David could put a new song in his mouth because he got it from the Lord. So we have a new song in our hearts as well. Now then, let's find application to those verses in the first three verses and apply it to ourselves because the Bible is written to us individuals. We can read about some of their principles of David, we find, and read some of the different things the Old Testament times, but how does it apply to me today? Is it worthwhile to read and learn about in the Scriptures? Number one, let us keep in the reservoir of our minds that there are depths into which the soul may descend. None of us are immune from descending into a pit of destruction or the miry clay. It can happen. In Psalm 51:1-3, a well-known psalm, another one written by David, which is a penitent psalm, in that David wanted to be forgiven of his sin that he committed against Bathsheba. It was a terrible thing he did. He wanted to be forgiven and washed clean. Psalm 51:1. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. He wanted to be cleansed. He wanted to have the compassion of God. Wash me thoroughly, completely, and blot out my transgressions. People today can descend to the very pits of destruction or into the depths that they may go because of sin. Because of sin. David asked for being be cleansed and to be washed from his sins. But even though mankind can descend into the pits of destruction, but when people repent and turn to God, as the case in Psalm 51 indicated, David was very sorry for what he had done. There is a solid assurance, though, to those who maintain unswerving faith in God. In Isaiah 66:2, a passage there that tells us to whom does God look? Who received God's favor? Well, it says in verse 2, for my hand hath made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look. To him who is humbled and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. Those three descriptions of people. God looks with favor. Those who are humble. Unless one is humble enough to acknowledge their shortcomings, acknowledge the need for God, and humbly submit to God, do not find God's favor. Those who are contrite of spirit, those who have a bruised, crushed heart and need to be renewed, restored. And then three, who trembles at my word. Do we have the reverence and the respect for God's word even now? As we did when we first became a child of God? Those who tremble at my word. Secondly, let us keep in our minds that into the depths God can adequately see. Even though David referred to the pit of destruction and the miry clay, God knew where he was. He could adequately see where David was. From the depth of this particular situation, it says David cried unto the Lord and he heard my cry. God saw and was well aware of the horrible pit of slavery in Egypt. In Acts 7, verse 34, when Stephen was giving a history of the people of God, he said in verse 34, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their groans, and I have come down to rescue them. Come now, and I will send you to Egypt. God says, I see their oppression, I hear their groans, and I'm going to deliver them from the Pharaohs of Egypt. God's pervading and penetrating eyes sees every person that's seeking Him. Doesn't miss any. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 let us know the power that is found in God's Word and the power that God has to see everybody, everything that goes on in life. Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as a division of soul and spirit, of both joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. What a powerful verse that is, showing that God in His Word has a power in the Word can penetrate and judge. It says, even to the joints and marrow. Now that's getting pretty technical in watch verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Can we hide from God Almighty? Does He see our struggles, our tribulations, our disappointments. Yes, He does. He doesn't miss anything at all. In third place, let us keep in our mind and focus our thoughts on the fact, in reality, that people may call to God from the depths, from the pit of destruction, from the miry clay. And God heard David at that time. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. From the horrible pit of sin and sorrow, David cried unto God, and God heard his cries. What an awesome God we have. He has that ability to help his people, help those who are seeking him in life through faith as well. From the darkness and despair and grief, the Apostle Peter wept. He knew he had committed an error. He knew he had denied the Lord 3 times, and he wept. He must have felt so bad because he had done what he had done. He wept. One verse says he wept bitterly. He was so despondent and so sorry for what he had done. But he had the heart to come back. He had the heart to repent and come back to God. He became a real strong voice in the days of the first century. From the painful surroundings of the life of Jesus. Jesus cried strongly with tears unto his heavenly Father. Hebrews 5 verse 7. We know Jesus underwent all kinds of trials and tribulations. He saw people that turned against him. And no doubt it made him feel in a way of being hurt and so forth. Verse 7, Hebrews 5 says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud cryings and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Jesus was heard even though he had tears, prayers unto his Father, he was heard. So people may call to God from the depths, from the pit of destruction, from the miry clay. Throughout the passing years of history, people have cried unto God from the pit of turmoil. The gracious God has anxiously heard their desperate cry. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and you shall receive. Do we ask? When we're down and despondent and struggling with things of life, do we ask? And then do we expect God's help when we do ask? And then number 4, and this is the last point this evening, let us always remember that out of the depths God lifts mankind. He lifts mankind. Psalms 40 verse 2 and 3, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and hear and will trust in the Lord. God can lift obedient people from their wretchedness. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul, who struggled with the law of sin in his body, the fleshly desires, and he wanted to do what's right, but he had trouble, as we often do ourselves. But in verse 24 of Romans 7, notice how Paul described himself: wretched man. Wretched man that I am. And then comes the question: who will set me free from the body of this death? Paul knew that he sinned. He knew that he had to struggle in his life. Wretched man that I am. Who will set me free from the body of this death? The answer is given in the next verse. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. So God was able to lift up Paul from the pit of destruction, out of the depth of sin, and he became a strong voice for Jesus Christ. God always leads us in triumph. Lest we forget that, we need to read 2 Corinthians 2, beginning verse 14, that as long as we are God's people, as long as we travel in the right way, as long as we walk in the light of God's Word, we are going to be triumphant. Listen to what he says, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death, to the other, aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Let us indelibly stamp in our minds that we are going to be triumphant if we continue to serve the Lord in our life. God can lift people who are in the miry clay, who are living as an old creature, the old man of sin, and make them a new creation altogether. Galatians 6, verse 15, there were those who tried to enforce circumcision upon the Christians, those following Christ. Were not to be done. Some wanted uncircumcision. Those two things are worthless. They are to no avail. But in Galatians 6 and verse 15, the writer tells us what is worthwhile, what is good. And he says, for neither circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. God can lift people up from the depths, from the miry clay, and from the pit of destruction, and set them on a new path and put a new song in their mouth and have all their sins taken care of. He had put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. God can lift you up. He can lift up anyone who is seeking Him through faith. And that faith would allow one to repent of their sins and to be baptized into Christ, a burial in water. And then when they come up from that watery grave, they're a new person, a new creation. That's the good news of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.